And welcome back here on Husker Radio's KODY, 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. Pleased to welcome in Nebraska State Senator Carol Blood. Senator Blood in Lincoln County to discuss her candidacy for governor of Nebraska. Senator Blood, good to have you in the studio today.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
We had an introductory with you, I believe it was a couple months ago, on the heels of the busy special session. We were able to talk about your candidacy a little bit. But for those that weren't able to hear that interview, give us a bit of background on yourself, if you don't mind, Senator.
Well, born in McCook, Nebraska, raised in rural Adams County. We have a family farm in Clay County. I raised my own family. I have three adult children and 10 awesome grandchildren in Sarpy County. And I was on the Bellevue City Council for two terms, which is 8 years. I served as the only at-large person on the City Council, which means that one particular member is citywide.
Okay.
And I am on my second term for the Nebraska Legislature, serving District 3, which is Western Bellevue and Southeastern Papillion, Nebraska. So right next to Offutt Air Force Base, Nebraska's number one employer.
Okay.
As a professional, I write business plans and feasibility assessments and help businesses start from scratch and go on to successful lives where I've helped people, in like four different states start businesses. And right now we're at about a 92% success rate, which is actually much higher than the national rate for business success. So I'm very proud of that. And it's not something that's made me wealthy, but it's definitely something that's made me very fulfilled.
Good, good. Senator Blood, tell us about the decision that led to you deciding to officially run for governor here in the great state of Nebraska.
Oh, gosh, good question. So I got to be really honest. I never planned on running for governor. Now, I always knew I wanted to be a state senator since my fourth grade tour in grade school, right? I knew that one day I would raise my family and it would be time for me to be able to step up to the plate. And I had that great benefit of being able to serve at the municipal level because it gave me a very different understanding than a lot of the people are serving right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to hopefully touch base on that a little bit later here. But then I started seeing the press releases of my opponents, and they were all playing from the same playbook. And the playbook that I find concerning is this divisive message of us versus them. The Nebraska that I grew up in, if somebody got hurt on the farm next to yours, you didn't knock on their doors and say, hey, what's your ideology? What party are you from? You helped them because they were Nebraskans, your neighbors, your friends. And I think we need to get away from this divisive language and putting people in a box regardless of who their party is and start to do something that I say call listen first to understand, where we can extend grace and actually listen to the other person to hear where they're coming from. And if we can do that without trying to shove our opinion down their throat, we're going to have the ability to weave community and make things better for Nebraska and help quiet down this divisive language and this hate that really is permeating across Nebraska. So when I saw that these opponents wanted to keep pounding that, they want to keep spreading the hate, they want to keep making that divide bigger, I know as a Nebraska citizen that that's not going to be good for our state. It's already starting to really ruin the great one house system that Nebraska has, which has always been so productive, where all parties came together to get things done. Now we're finding people pay their way into office. We're seeing dark money come into campaigns that are really the only point is to discredit those really good people that have chosen to run for office. And I don't know about other people, but when that was used against me, you know, you had to go in the grocery store and look at people and explain to people that it's not true. And you had to go to mass and explain to people that what they're being told are lies. And all you should have to be able to concentrate on is knocking on doors, making phone calls, and then when elected, bringing forward good policy. So I want to tell folks that being kind is not a weakness. It's a strength, and we need to practice that more often.
Senator Blood, it's a somewhat crowded race for Governor Ricketts' seat when he reaches his term limit. Obviously, this race is kind of headlined by Jim Pillen, Charles Herbster, and then there's speculation that former Governor Heineman may be running, and he's been honest that he is considering a run. But you're the first to do so, officially announce a candidacy not in the Republican Party.
Yeah, and to be frank, I'm not asking anybody to change parties. What I'm asking people is that, are you happy with what's gone on for the last 20 years? Because your governors have all been Republican, and the vast majority of the body and the legislature has been Republican. But yet you still have high property taxes, and we still have so many failures in the Department of Health and Human Services and our prison system. The list is really long, and I hope people remember what happened to our prison system 20 years ago. I hope they remember things like Nico Jenkins. And there's always so much finger pointing at the executive branch, blaming it on departments and people. But if you look at the flow chart of how state government works, those same branches fall under the executive branch. So where does the buck stop? So, yeah, I am the only Democrat running. And we were talking about this a little earlier when we sat down. You know, I'm kind of on the island of lost toys. I believe what I believe. I don't can't even tell you what my party platform is. But the one thing I do know is I'm a Nebraskan. And I am a native Nebraskan. And I've lived in both rural and urban areas. And I bring a very different view. I'm not trying to buy my way into office. I'm doing it the old-fashioned way. And I should note that the four elections that I've won are all in highly Republican areas. And I get Republican votes because I do the job, I listen, and I speak truth. Sometimes that's not always a really popular thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell people the truth about why I won't waste tax dollars, and I won't pander, and I won't participate in political theater.
Now, Senator Blood, I'm glad you brought up the prison system, because whoever our next governor is has quite a chore under way for him with the prison system currently here in the state of Nebraska. So if Nebraskans decide to elect you to replace Governor Ricketts when he reaches his term limit, how do you plan to address the crowded prison and the Nebraska state pen?
Another good question. Well, first of all, you should know that I worked maximum security in the prison system.
Okay.
I was actually the first pregnant woman to ever run the yard at LCC before
really?
I transferred to the state pen. And so I've got kind of a different view.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to tell you is that this is not a new problem. If you look at the interim hearings, if you look at the news reports going back 20 years, this problem started 20 years ago. The prisons became crowded when I was working there. They closed down the gymnasium and filled it with bunk beds. And eventually Tecumseh was built, as you know. But we keep having systemic issues that we're not addressing. So building a new prison is not the answer at this time. And the reason I say that is that look at what just happened at the pen, right? No water for days.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that the staff probably has it really hard. If you have inmates locked down, can't flush their toilets, and they're sharing that room that has the toilet in their room with another person, they give them two bottles of water. At least the last I checked, they were getting two bottles of water a day. And granted, I know there's people saying, well, they're in prison, they should be punished. Well, actually, they're in prison and they should be punished, but they should also be rehabilitated. And we have not been funding rehabilitation properly, and we have not been taking care of the facilities that we currently have. So you don't let something continue to deteriorate and then buy something new and then try and sell it to the taxpayers. We have had so many cost-cutting measures that have created this issue that's very urgent, with the prisons literally falling down around the staff's workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And the flooding is a really good – excuse me, the lack of water is a really good issue. And then, of course, there has been flooding, and there's been other issues. And quite frankly, we've got to address how staff is paid. Now, they did recently just give them a raise, but that was a long, long, long time coming. You're asking these people that are essential people to work for the same thing they can get at McDonald's. And the jobs they do are very important. You look at the Tecumseh State Prison. They built that prison in an area where there aren't enough people to man that facility. So they send people in from other communities. Then they start hiring corporals off the streets. So it's kind of like the military. You start out as an officer, and you have to test out to be a corporal, because that's when you have the one-on-one with inmates.
Okay.
So imagine bringing people in off the streets who have never had that one-on-one and say, okay, we want you to do the job of a corporal, even though you're just walking into this facility. We saw what happened to Tecumseh when they did that, not to mention that it creates bad feelings for the people who had to test out prior to them, right? So there's so many systemic issues in the prison system that have been ignored for years. And to say that we have to build a new prison isn't necessarily wrong, but you don't build until you fix the problems that you have. And the problems that we have now are going to cost taxpayers even more because we didn't address them when they first started.
Now, Senator Blood, you're here in Lincoln County, had a stop at the bowling alley this week. Tell us about how that went and some of the interaction that you've had with some of our listeners.
It went so well. We had a packed room, and we had really good questions. And to be really frank, the message is resonating with so many people. You know, again, we've become a country where we think we have to shove our opinions down the throats of others. We really don't have to do that. We just have to listen to where people are coming from. Extend grace. And not be thinking about how we're going to defeat what they're saying or what we're going to say next when we're listening to other people. I truly believe that we can start changing Nebraska back to what I remember growing up, one person at a time. And so I'm asking anybody who has hope for a better Nebraska to join me in that. It's going to take a lot of practice, but from social media to the coffee shop, if we can listen to where people are coming from, even when we don't agree with them, we're going to learn something. And if you can learn that lesson, hear where they're coming from, even if you don't agree, then you have a starting point on how you can agree to change something in the future.
Senator Blood, why Lincoln County? What inspired the stop here to talk about your campaign for governor right here?
Well, you are in Nebraska. I mean, this is just one of a lot of stops that I'm making. This is one of 8 stops that I'm making in a 2.5-day trip. Yeah, it's a lot of traveling. But, you know, I grew up in rural Nebraska, and driving's not that big a thing. But this isn't my first trip either. We're going to be back multiple times. And I'd like to point out, by the way, you don't see staff when I come and visit.
Just you, yeah.
Just me. You know, I'm not trying to buy my way into office. I'm doing it the old-fashioned way, person to person, knocking on doors, making phone calls. And I've always campaigned that way. I've never, ever had a campaign manager, which is pretty unique for a legislative race, by the way. I'm very unique for a gubernatorial race. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how else to campaign. You know, you don't see TV ads right now for me. You don't see billboards. All you see me doing is talking to folks. I know who I work for. It's not special interest. It's not party. It's Nebraskans. And it's going to be the same way if elected governor.
Senator Blood, one individual that you'll have to do some traveling with during this campaign will be a potential lieutenant governor. Have you thought over who you might want to run with for this race?
I have. I am not at liberty to say whom.
Okay.
But I will say that it is a gentleman from rural Nebraska who is very well versed in farming, cattle industry, and environmental issues.
Okay.
And I think that the vast majority of Nebraskans will like what he has to say.
Well, we look forward to that announcement and look forward to sharing that with our listeners, too. Sounds very exciting.
Thanks. It is very exciting. This whole thing is exciting.
Sure,
right?
Absolutely it is.
And I love being out here, by the way. Folks are so nice in Nebraska, and it's really hard not to enjoy. You know, you sit around and you shoot the breeze, and that's fun.
It's the way it's supposed to be.
It is the way it's supposed to be, and there's no hustle and bustle out here like there is where I'm living now.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, I don't know about you, but like how people give directions, and I've always noticed this between urban and rural. Like here, it's like, okay, you go about a mile until you hit the gravel road. Then you go past the Johnson Farm with
yep.
the red barn. And, you know, in Omaha, it's like, okay, Omaha's on a grid and everything's north and south. And you go 2 blocks and you turn on East 1st Street. And it's a very different. And I have missed how chill, how laid back rural Nebraska is, and it's just fun for me to be here.
Senator Blood, if folks want to learn more about your campaign for governor of Nebraska, how can they do so?
I really encourage them to go to electcarolblood.com, and one of the things I encourage them to do is look at my blog, because I have a really important blog about property taxes and the lie that people have been told over the last 20 years about why their property taxes are high. And I want to have people really understand the systemic issues that if we don't fix, no matter what grandiose plan, be it consumption tax, which I'd love to talk about with people, or the property relief fund, which still, by the way, has $50 million in it because people don't know how to claim their money, then until we fix these systemic issues, no matter what we do, it's never going to be fixed. And so I want to be that person that shows people how we're going to once and for all actually get some control of property taxes. And I want people to know that they've never really been told the truth about why their property taxes are high, and to beware of the consumption tax that's being pushed right now, because if you do the numbers, you'll see that Nebraska would be $4 billion in the hole after about 3-4 years of that. There's also a partner bill with that that's in the legislature that's going to allow local government to also implement a consumption tax. So it's not necessarily what it appears. I feel really sorry for our senior citizens who've paid income tax their whole career, now being asked to pay taxes in their retirement, on their food, on their medications, on their doctor's visits. It doesn't seem fair. And people are sick and tired of high property taxes, especially in this and that state, and they well should be. But let's fix the problems that the state has created that caused your property taxes to be high in the first place. And that started several decades ago.
Senator Blood, we appreciate the time. Safe travels on the campaigning, and look forward to talking to you down the road.
Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to seeing everyone.